faith is coming because. Amen. And so it shall be for you and I in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, this is the hour in which we have gathered to hear from you. A fellowship with the Lord, with our Master. Almighty God, release your word unto us in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your word come expressly, clearly to us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, O Lord, grant us listening ear, teachable spirit. Father, I relinquish the whole of my being and I yield to you. I ask for the full ministry of the Holy Spirit this morning to guide and to teach us and to, you know, illuminate your word, to bring more light to your word in our hearts, in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. The Bible passage for this morning is taken from Mark chapter 2, verse 22. Mark chapter 2, verse 22. It's just one verse. And this morning, as we experienced yesterday's program, the life in Christ is deemed to be exciting, enjoyable. God has not promised us all war. God has not promised us just negativity alone, but there is love and there's blessings that will enrich our life. But however, we need to know how to navigate this environment. Believe you and I, if we are located in the Garden of Eden right now, there will still be challenges. So that tells me even if we're in the best of places, there will still be challenges. Not simply because God did not get it right, not because the formula is not working, but simply because we're just human. We're just human. You are in flesh, I'm in flesh, and flesh against flesh, you know, you can finish the statement. Mark chapter 2, verse 22. And it says, And no one puts new wine into old wineskin. The wine will burst. The wine will burst the wineskin, spilling the wine and ruining the skin. The new wine needs new wineskin. This particular verse could be interpreted in a number of ways. And if you are to use it in the context in which the Bible passage, even in Matthew, it was referenced, you wouldn't be talking about it in the terms in which I want to apply it this day. But just to for you to know that even in the biblical terms, there is, how shall I say, there is a philosophy. There is a way in which you have to do certain things at certain times that which to be navigated. And it's going to require navigation. If we look at that verse again, technical pastor is not the one here. This thou and them is, doesn't work for Falashade. So, New King James Version or NIV is always preferred. No one, that is you and I, no one puts into a new wine. There are certain principles, there are certain rules that you just got to do it the way the Bible wants it. Otherwise, you don't get the outcome. You can't keep doing things the old way, even when the circumstances and some elements, some characters have changed in the situations. If you apply the same actions, you are going to get the wrong result. There is no praying and fasting about that. I'm not against praying and fasting, but there's some things, even the Bible tells us, you don't have to fast and pray about it. And the two gentlemen cracked me up yesterday. They discovered that I made a purchase for the church, and they were saying, oh, we've been praying about this. I said, some things you don't need to pray, you just need to ask. You just need to go do it. That's God. That's Jesus. When Jesus was around and the Pharisees were challenging him, why are your people not, you know, doing this 50 days, 100 days fast? He came out right now and said, That's not happening right now, and there's a reason for that. If a situation requires that you act, there's no amount of praying and fasting that will fix your getting up and doing that which you need to do. Tell your neighbor, do the needful. So that's what the application of that verse is. That verse simply says, no one, you and I should not pour new wine into old skin. When you do that, it's going to burst. You're going to ruin the wine. You ruin the new wine. And definitely, the old wineskin will not be usable. So, no one should do that. You are looking to switch the light on in your bedroom. You get to the light switch. You flip it on. It's not working. Something tells you that light bulb has expired. There's no amount of screaming. Why is the light not on? Why is that not on? Can you not just flippantly, you know, click the... No. It requires action. And that's what I want to bring out of that particular verse. And relating that verse to our marriages this morning. Our marriages. From creation, God intended for men and women never to live alone. Kid not yourself. Marriage is God-inspired, is God-created, and a good marriage requires full participation of all parties involved. A good marriage requires active and full participation of all parties involved. Yes, it is between you and your spouse. However, God is the creator, and God is the originator of marriages. So everyone involved or will be involved in getting married needs to be fully aware of that. Something deep within a man cries out for companionship with a woman. And women have similar need for intimacy. Intimacy with a man. Not with their cell phone, not with their social media. Intimacy with a man. Marriage is designed to satisfy the deep search for intimacy. The key word in a marriage is intimacy. It's not childbearing. It's not, you know, gazillion. It's not career. It's intimacy. You do not go into a marriage to further your career. However, that has been done several times. We see the outcomes on the internet. Marriage is not simply a relationship. It is an intimate relationship that encompasses all aspects of our lives. Intellectual, emotions, social, spiritual, and physical. Marriage is such that when you go into it, it's all about the wholeness of you. It encompasses your intellectual aspect. You have to go into marriage with your full brain in full gear, actively percolating. With your emotions. It's going to affect your emotions. You're going to, you know, the ups and the downs and the wayside. And when it expands sideways too, you will see it. It also affects your social standings, your social aspect, how you are seen and you are viewed by others. When you transition from being single and to being married, there's a change. And you must acknowledge that change. Spiritually as well. Marriage impacts your spiritual life because it changes the way God sees you. God no longer sees you as Mr. I, Mr. I, Mr. I. You now become, we are we, we are we, we are we, and we are a team. God does not see two people after you have made and signed up for your marriage vow. God no longer sees two people. We need to understand that because when you understand these premises, you are able to know how come God is responding to you and your matters in the way he's doing. When God sees a married couple, he only sees one. When one of you show up, it's irrelevant, you are representing the other. So, I dare say, there's a reason why God says, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Now, keep that at the back of your pocket Because if you found one, know that whatever it is that you find, God has called it a good thing. And he finds favor. Now, it up to the owner of that good thing to apply, to explore, and to reap the benefits. In marriage relationship, husband and wife share life with each other in the most deepest of any possible way. Bible makes us to understand that Adam knew Eve. Adam did exactly, the Bible wrote it exactly the best way, how graphical that moment was. He said he knew Eve. He knew Eve because he has been seeing stuff going down in that garden. And he thought, hold on, these animals, they are expert at what they do. And God gave him a desire that can only be fulfilled by Eve. Within the bounds of marriage, ladies and gentlemen, it has got 100% approval for Adam to knew Eve. So once you marry your spouse, you are on that journey of great discovery to know the bones of your bones and to make great discovery. Let us begin to enjoy that great experience. Do not limit yourself. Do not limit your experience. Do not let the physical limit your expectation. They view themselves as a unified team. That's Adam and Eve, and that's how we ourselves should see ourselves. Not as two individuals who happens to be living in close proximity. No. When you are married, you become a unified team. Because the desire and the drive for intimacy are at the heart of marriage. Individuals involved become, they just go into themselves. If there's no such intimacy, they become troubled. They become troubled, and when trouble comes, there's no joy. Which brings me this morning to seasons of marriage. Brethren, there are seasons in marriage as there are seasons in life. We have the winter, we have the summer, we have the fall. There are seasons in lives. We're not the same in all this season. Seasons in marriages comes and go. Each one holds the potential for emotional health and happiness. Each one has its challenges. The key to develop the necessary skill to enhance our marriages in all these four seasons is essential. It is my responsibility and your responsibility to develop these skills. Because God at creation has made marriage perfect. And we are the sole beneficiary of this creation. Marriage is also a purposeful relationship. We need to bear that in mind. An intimate marriage provides the safest and the most productive climate for raising children. However, the sole purpose of you getting wed, the sole purpose of God creating marriage is not solely for procreation purpose only. Each person in a marriage is endowed by God with gift, talent, unending possibilities. Your creation, when God finished creating you and I, he said, hey, this is good. I like it. That is, there's something already being put together in you. You're already a made product at creation. What we are seeing is just the unfolding and discovering and the revelation of the perfect work of God. That is the journey you and I are on right now. If you are having the time of life, it's not because God just did that. No, it has already been perfected. You and I are just entering into it because of our growth and the nature in which we're to explore this world. The partnership of marriage is an ideal environment for nurturing and developing all the gifts we have been blessed with and all the abilities that God has endowed us with. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we are told that two are better than one. That is, if one is to fall down, the other will help. Every married couple has experienced the reality of this principle, that two are better than one. I've often challenged us that we should really think deeply. Are two of us ever down at the same time? No. Because our differences, what makes us different, are truly benefits to marriages. Even though we often look at differences as a negative things, but in marriage, your differences makes you work for the relationship. Because when we're different in certain ways from one or the other, we're able to explore and to discover, and it's a journey. And on journey, you learn about one another. Husbands and wives are designed to complement each other. When the man is weak, the wife is strong. When one stumbles, the other picks the other up. Life becomes easier when we are able to relate at this level. When two hearts and minds are committed to working together to face the challenges of the day. What am I talking about this morning? I'm saying there are seasons in relationship. There are seasons in marriages. And we should not, under no circumstances, should we give up in any season. Because God did not give up at creation. Even while Adam was by himself, God did not give up. God continued to look and to try to understand, what's wrong with this guy? Why is he so sad? Why is he so bored? Is he tired of watching these animal movies 24/7? It's like watching the Animal Kingdom channel. Pastor loves to watch that. Honestly, after 30 minutes, I don't understand it anymore. But I try to relate. So, understanding the season, marriage season, will help us to navigate this world. Marriage relationships are constantly changing, attitudes shift, emotions fluctuate, and the way spouses treat each other goes up and down. And sometimes, you know, between loving and not so loving. Sometimes your spouse might say to you, what's wrong with you? And then you'll be looking at him that he didn't say that. He better not say what's wrong with me. Because you're about to come back with that line. You are the one wrong with me. But it's only a season. Tell your neighbor it's only a season. It's only a season. And like we were examining yesterday, winter season in marriages are characterized by coldness, harshness, and bitterness. We need to understand. When we see these things, we must understand that, oh, this must relate to winter. Dreams, we must know that during this season, it can be very hard going. Emotions are hot. You may experience disappointment. You may encounter loneliness as well. But you also need to know that it is only a season. During winter season, a man and husband and wife might have conversation, but that conversation might just boil down to logistics. You might have something like, who will do that? When will you do that? And when? They're not connecting on an emotional basis. Even if they try to talk about their relationship, you find that in the winter seasons of marriage, it's often more argument than other kind of conversation. Every discussion seems to lead into argument. Even when you are trying to say something nice, it turns out as if you said something nasty. All you need to know is that this is just a season. Some couples live as if they're constantly living during winter, that their house is so cold because they live in silence. Because someone said, I just want peace, I just want peace. And because they want peace, they're not talking. Even if the other person tried to communicate with them, I'm not saying nothing because whatever I say now is going to lead to fight. That is their comeback line. That is a winter season. Essentially, the husband and wife, they're living an independent life. Though they live in the same house, each spouse blame each other for the coldness in the relationship. If you are here today, in the dead of winter in your marriage, take courage, for there is hope. For there is hope, for there is hope, for there is hope. If your marriage is not where you expect it to be because, there's arguments, there's discouragement, you are frustrated, don't be hopeless. There's actions that you can take. But the actions must not be destructive. You must learn not to speak harshly. You must learn not to be violent. During winter season, you must be very cautious because the climate of the house might be that of detachment. You might feel a sense of detachment. In the winter season of marriage, couples are not willing to negotiate their differences. Conversation turns into argument. Everybody wants to have the last say. Even argument might break out into the open. They used to have it in the closet in those days. Now it moves to the bedroom. I'm sure in this 21st century, it's probably people are having it out in front of the TV in their living room. That should not be the case. In the winter season of marriage, there is no sense of togetherness. The marriage is like two people living in a separate house. They become flatmates and not husbands and wives. In the winter season of marriage, one tends to experience the downgrading of a union to mere living roommates. They become sheep passing in the night. When I come in, I must leave. When you come into the living room, I must go into the bedroom. When you come into the bedroom, I must find an excuse and go into the bathroom. There is hope, ladies and gentlemen. There is hope. But the first thing we must do is to recognize what is before our eyes. Because unless you recognize what season you are, you will not apply the right solution. Which is why I read to us in the beginning, Mark chapter 2, verse 22. You cannot put a new wine in an old skin. We must look for the right, godly, applicable solution for us to find our way to that purposeful relationship. In the springtime of life, a marriage in the springtime of life will be an exciting time. A very hopeful time. The house is filled with aroma, with sweet aromas. There's joy in the air. There's celebration in the air. The attitude of the couples, of the man and woman in the house, is that of optimism. There's gratitude. You will see people appreciating one another, thanking one another, just showing love. In the springtime season of marriage, there's love and there's trust. The foundation and bedrock of that relationship is trust. There's optimism. It's not that the marriage is perfect, but they have the building block to go forward. It's during that time, there's openness, caring for one another, being particularly sensitive to each other's need. Remember, during springtime, flowers begin to blossom. Dreams are coming to reality. Words of encouragement are no longer just words, but they're the manifestations of it. There's improvement in communication. Streams of communications are flowing. You are texting in the morning. You are texting in the afternoon. You are telling your spouse, "I'm about to leave Walmart, and you know I'm going to be heading to Sam's Club in a minute." And you know, sometimes you will often wonder, "He's talking to me too much. Your complaint is he's texting me too much." That's the springtime, because there's open communications. People, you are relating to one another. You are on the same wavelength. There is a sense of excitement in the air. Excitement about living life together. You are full of hope. You buy into the vision of what is coming next. Couples are making plans. You are making plans. Compare this to winter season. People are not sharing plans. They're not telling each other what is happening. They're not even telling each other when a visitor is coming, because you want to get him, say, "He will see today, they will soon come. I won't tell him they're coming." That is a characteristic of a winter season of marriage. But in the springtime, couples are sharing plans. They're even sharing email addresses. They're planting seeds from which they can hope to reap in harvest. In comparison to the season of winter time, you dare not touch his phone. He will jump from that bed. During the springtime, you leave your phone. You can even give your spouse your password. Or you can share common password. Because we're very hopeful. Life is good. We're going places. And we're finishing each other's sentences. This is the springtime, spring season of marriage. What actions are needed during this time, ladies and gentlemen? More nurturing. Nurturing and paying attention to each other's needs. Being sensitive to each other. Constantly planning and checking in with each other. Coming up with suggestions and ideas of how to improve and how to move forward. Listening, particularly listening to each other, help us in the spring season of life. Also, both couples realizing and seeking each other's help. In the spring season of marriages, nobody goes it alone. Nobody makes plans alone. In the springtime, in the spring season of marriage, nobody starts and finishes by themselves. We're working as a team and we're united. And everyone that is addressing or coming into your family must see you as a family unit. Compare that to the winter season, when we're playing silos and we're playing singles. It is very important not to pour new wine into old wineskins. In the summer season, you experience positive emotions. There's happiness in the air. There's satisfaction in the air. Great accomplishment is experienced. There's super duper connectivity going on in the house. Uncertainty is to a limit. There's very little blaming here and there, back and forth. You have concerns, but you are not overly concerned. In the summer season of marriages, communication is very constructive. We accept each other's differences because we know that whatever you do, you are coming from a good place. Even if you are finding fault with me as a wife, you accept what your husband is saying, because you know it's coming from a good heart. He's not saying it because he just wants to bad belay you like that. You accept. In the summertime, you are comfortable. You are filled with positive energy. You are very supportive. Your spouse is supportive of all of your ideas, even though they don't understand all your ideas. They're very supportive. in the summer season of marriage, you are very comfortable with your environment. You know that you are actively working on a plan that will soon come to fruition. That you are on you are so confident that you are on the right path, that we've got this plan. No one is being antagonistic of each other, but rather supportive. The dreams that you had during spring is coming to manifestation. That is the seeds that you have planted. You are going to begin to see it. Graduation is coming soon. You are soon going to be having the baby. The bundle of joy is coming. There's things to be celebrated. That's the summer season of marriage. Couples enjoy a great deal of satisfaction from their accomplishments. You know you have supported your guy. And when the time for celebration comes, you are ready for it because you are so super, you are going to be next right to your guy. And your guy is so proud of you because he just sees you coming out of the bedroom saying, yes, today is my day. But he's not only saying it for himself, he's saying it for the both of you. In the summer season of marriage, you are committed to resolving conflicts in a positive manner. You become very active in resolving issues because you are so super sensitive to the word of God and where your blessings are coming from. You will not let the sun go down on your anger. I'm emphasizing that in all these seasons that I'm talking about, no marriage is perfect. Nobody in any marriage is perfect. However, we need to see what is before us, recognize it, and be determined to do something about it. In the summer season of marriage, husbands and wives have a growing sense of togetherness because they bought into the same plan. They've sowed the seed during this springtime. So there's togetherness in the house. Even often the children will be commenting, what's wrong with these old folks? They're always cooking together in the kitchen. They will be sitting and watching the same old English comedy in the living room. That's togetherness. Your friends might even observe that your togetherness is at a new level because they see you glow and they see you beaming. And they really want to emulate that. That is the summertime, the summer season of marriage. And we ought to know that in this season, we must continually take constructive action. We must communicate effectively. We must be accepting the differences of our spouse. We must also learn and be committed to developing ourselves. Share a book with your spouse. If you want this togetherness to be promoted, do something in common. Have time for each other. Do simple stuff together. Go for long walks together. Watch a TV series together. Do something that involves both of you. Be in each other's square footage. Be in each other's life. Do not go it alone as those in the winter time. Oh, I just want to watch this TV and I just want to watch it by myself. No, those are people in the winter season. Grow spiritually. Make recommendations to your spouse about the ideas you have and how they can be of help. Lastly, I want to talk to us about the fall season. Fall season can be so heavy going sometimes. Just as I said, emotions goes up and down because we're human beings. In the fall season, people often experience dejection, discouragement, resentment. Or the worst one in my book is feelings of being unappreciated. That's usually very heavy on women, particularly in marriage. If day in, day out, you feel unappreciated, it has a very depressing effect. Let us be aware of that. In the fourth season, you often find spouses blaming each other. There's a high level of uncertainty going on. Will this marriage last? Will this not last? And then they begin to be talks of, I don't want trouble. We neglect each other. People will neglect each other in the season, in fall season. You find it's characterized by people neglecting each other. There will be failures to face issues head on. Things that you cannot hide, people will be hiding from it. There's issues that we need to talk about so that we can move our relationship forward, so that we can fulfill what we need to do. People will be postponing and delaying matters that they need to discuss. We need to talk about our children going to college, but because we're in the fourth season of a marriage season, nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about events that is before us. We need to take a travel, we need to take a trip to, you know, maybe the wife's mother's birthday. Nobody wants to talk about it until the last minute. The climate of relationship in the fall seasons of marriage is that things are drifting apart. People are disengaging. They're not sure about what is coming around the block. There's a sense of detachment. Let us be aware of these things. Let us be able to recognize these issues. One or both of the cousins may start to feel neglected in the relationship. This was not so at the beginning. When God created man and woman, it was so that they might have companionship. But these are things that we by ourselves can address. We can address them. We can address them by being honest. God is the bedrock of all marriages. So also is trust. We must know that we need to trust each other. We need to reintroduce the new wine into a new skin. We need to be honest with each other. We need to call the counsel of the wise, and we need to sit each other down, and we need to address our issues. We need to be recommitted to our marriage vows. We need to develop our own policy in-house. Just like I was saying yesterday, in our house we have a policy of we buy no return. This marriage is forever. We're not going out. We're going to do everything we need to get it right. And that should be our attitude in this house. That should be your attitude and my attitude. That God has made sure we come to this bus stop of our life in marriage. And God has given us everything that we need to make it work. And we should make it work. The question is, how committed are you to make it work? Are you one of those pouring new wine into an old skin so that you can break it and the wine will be spoiled and will be wasted and will be useless and the wine skin can even be used or have any purpose? This morning, I want to challenge us. God has done his part. Valentine's Day is not a one day in Christendom. God loves you yesterday. He loves you today. He will love you till eternity when he reigns. And he wants to see you in that kingdom of God. He has made all necessary plans and resources available. The act of praying is a key for us and a weapon for us to use. If your spouse is not talking to you as at this time, or your season is that of winter, pray about it. Pray. I say pray. You said you pray. I say pray the more. Because in the place of prayer, and often people attach more praying to women. That has not been my experience because my husband prays a lot. So maybe I'm coming from that school of thought that says everybody should pray. Prayer is not limited to women only. Pray. Pray to the extent that the person you are praying for hears what you are praying. Because when they hear, it is God that is allowing them to hear that they're praying. I'm known to pray that kind of prayer. If I'm praying for you, you will soon discover. Because when as many of you have discovered yesterday, my husband travels a lot. So by the time he's trying to wake up, I'm praying over him and I'm praying that you will not see those people at the airport. You will not see those beautiful air hostess. You will not see those beautiful checkout people at the hotel. Those people at the reception desk, you will not see them. Even your room that is so sparkling clean, you will not see it to the extent you will come home and be complaining about my own cleaning standard. I mean, I pray a lot of prayer. I'm a very practical Christian. I don't lie to myself. For the over 15 years or so that pastor has been traveling, my main competitor is the cleaning standard of four-star hotels. And I take them on in prayer. I don't challenge them by saying that I will clean, that they won't see any speck in my house. No, I'm a woman. But I take those cleaning ladies in Hilton hotels. I take them on in place of prayer. I take all those four-star breakfast people. I take them on in the place of prayer. My breakfast will beat your own prayer. My own breakfast will beat your own breakfast any day on a Sunday morning. Because they can't give my own breakfast to my husband. Those are the kind of prayer I pray. So pray. What it is, you are the only one that knows exactly what is wrong in your marriage. Pray. Because God listens. And in the manner in which God will bring solution, don't be bothered about it. Because some prayers just need practical action. Sometimes I've laid prayers that as you are going, God will blind everybody that wants to snatch you. The effective blindness will just come. I mean, I pray that prayer. I don't know why you pray for your husband. I pray prayers that when they receive this application, no other application, they won't be able to print it out of the computer. It will not even come up on the screen. Those are the. I pray practical prayers. I'm a very practical Christian. So I'm saying pray. Pray because you are the one that. For the man, if you want your man to change, ladies, please don't try and change the man. Pray to God who can change all hearts. And when you start praying, listen to God. Because God will tell you exactly what you need to do, where you need to position yourself. The solution to bring your marriage into the summertime and the springtime, God will give to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to know that there's seasons in all marriages. Marriage goes through seasons. But God has given you and I the abilities and the wisdom to get it right. And I want you to know, God is looking out and watching out for marriages because he's a very purposeful God and he knows what he wants for each home. I believe vehemently that God has good plans for you. He has good plans for me. And those plans will come to fruition in the mighty name of Jesus. I want us to know this morning that it is our responsibility to take positive actions to address those issues that we need. May the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. Let us bow our hearts and close our eyes as we begin to commit each home into the hands of God. If you are sitting beside your spouse, it's okay. Just hold, reach out to them, hold them, and begin to pray. Ask that God will pour new wine into your marriage. New wine into your marriage. You are asking, new wine represents the presence and the spirit of God. That God should be at the center of your marriage. And if your marriage is going through the winter season, ask God to touch the heart of your spouse. Even more so, ask God to touch your own heart. We're company of believers. Christ is the center of our home. If Christ is in your home should be a sweet place. It should be a happy place. It should be a joyful place. Because the word of God tells us there is favor living there. There is blessings living there. And where these new things are, you cannot see sadness. You cannot see depression. So if that is not the case, call on God, the giver of joy, from whom all blessings flow. Call upon him this morning. Ask him to visit you and to address your issue. If it's wisdom you lack, don't be shy of it. Ask for wisdom. Ask that the Almighty God will manifest his promises. He said he has brought you and your spouse together for companionship, for fruitfulness, for blessings, for greatness, for greater accomplishments. In this our year of fresh new glory, ask that the Almighty God will visit you anew. And your glory should continue to shine. It should be ever increasing glory in your household. That your visions will be God's vision. The vision in your home, the peace in your home can only truly come before God. Begin to commit your marriage, your family into the hands of God. And you, if you don't know it all, as I am, I don't know it all. Ask for the help of God. Father, help us as we navigate this season. Recognize, do not lie to yourself. Recognize which season you are in. Father, this is our season of life. We are exposed towards you. The Bible says Adam and Eve were naked and they were not ashamed. They were not hiding in the bathroom from each other. They were not running to the kitchen from each other. But rather they stayed naked in the presence of God because God got their back. You want to ask God this morning, Father, address my issues. I no longer want to hide from you. I've been hiding my sadness from my spouse. I've been hiding my sadness from my friends. I've been just showing, you know, what is not true. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask that you pour new wine into my marriage. In the mighty name of Jesus. The wholeness that you promised me at the altar. The wholeness. Father, fulfill your promises upon this marriage. Restore our joy. Restore our happiness. You said we have found favor in your sight. Father, let your favor begin to flow. Address all issues in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh Lord, this morning, be there be any third party in any marriage in this assembly. Father, you that know how you handle Satan, when he showed up in the congregation of your children, Father, the third party in any marriage in this great assembly, Father, I decree under this unction that they will pack their goods and they will leave immediately in the mighty name of Jesus. That before each and every one of us get back home, the stranger in our houses is gone in the mighty name of Jesus. The stranger in our relationship is gone in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray this morning that you pour a new wine into our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. And your purpose for each home shall be fulfilled in the mighty name of Jesus. May we begin to experience joy unspeakable in the mighty name of Jesus. So it shall be. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.